This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, this is Austin Eckler, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Thursday, February 24th, the Fantasy Footballers, Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway. Welcome into the podcast. Welcome into the show.
It's good to meet you.
Well, somebody out there, they could be meeting us for the very first time today, Mike.
That is true.
They may know nothing about us, how sophisticated we are.
Welcome.
This could be their first time. We need to make a good first impression.
How do you do that?
Well, you got to dress a little bit. You're dressed nice today. Most days I can make a one-liner about you, but not today.
I am wearing a hoodie.
It's a really nice looking hoodie.
And the man in the t-shirt over there.
I know. That's why it's held up.
With a pig's butt on it.
Well, more than that.
Well, I know.
A little Traeger shirt.
Yeah, no, I love it.
T-shirts forever.
Well, you did convert me to the jogger life.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
How did we get to, it's like sweatpants are shameful. Joggers, socially acceptable.
Is that got a zipper on the pocket?
It's not just joggers, but sweatpants are also acceptable now.
Are they?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yeah,
in
dude,
places other than Walmart.
Yes. Where have you guys been, man? Quarantine and all of this stuff, like sweatpants are now fine.
Really?
Yes.
They don't have to have any stylistic,
well,
like
they
a
have
long
to, yeah.
zipper with like a special.
No. I mean, they have to be a good fit sweatpant. You can't have just like big JNCO legs on your sweatpants. But as long as it's a good cut and fits, sweatpants are perfectly fine.
It's just not going to be possible to go from this level of comfort back to a jean level of discomfort.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
And that's why you need sweatpant jeans.
You've been setting the trend on this for a while.
Look,
Jason, are you in on the jogger life?
Oh, no.
He doesn't wear pants.
I was going to say, right. I would. Do you know how much I would sweat if I had sweatpants on? It's in the name. I'm sweating in khaki shorts and boxers I could sweat. I'm not putting on sweatpants. You insane?
You should have seen how upset Jason was. He got in from a workout.
Oh, yeah.
Tried to wait a while to shower. Showers in as cold of water as I guess he can tolerate, gets out and sweats.
I'm just still sweating forever.
But it's a clean sweat.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's still salty.
What? No. It's still clean though, because the bacteria is off your body.
We help.
Well, sure, but I still feel like when I am sweating after a shower and I have to put on a shirt, it feels wrong.
Sure.
It feels like I need to hop back in the shower.
You need one of those walk-in deep freezers.
Yes, we do. We need like one of those.
What, like Rocky?
Like
so you can
fridge.
Go. You can go train and beat up on the
like the one they hide from the dinosaurs from in Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. I would be all about working out in a refrigerator.
Oh my gosh, we have.
How's that for a first impression?
First and last.
Welcome to the football show.
If you're still here, it's a late February podcast, and we actually have, I think, one of our more helpful shows of the off season here today. We're doing our 10 things to remember episode. So we've each picked out some things reflecting on the past year.
Yeah. And I every single year we add a few really valuable nuggets that actually make an impact on how we go moving forward into future seasons of fantasy football. I would say this show every single year has certainly made me and hopefully others a better fantasy player.
And one of Mike's 10 things to remember really shows why this show is important, which is evolution, right? Like the actual, sure. the fantasy football universe, the types of leagues people play in, the things they pay attention to, the access to different information. You can't just settle in a rut and do the same thing year after year. You do have to adjust.
The game evolves.
And I think we've all picked out some things that we want to do better in our own fantasy leagues next year. So we'll be counting it down, 10 things to remember, but let's kick it off with a quick question. This one came in from Instagram. Which second-year player is set for the biggest jump in fantasy football production? We were banned from selecting Travis Etienne, who missed his entire rookie season.
Makes sense.
Yeah, that one doesn't fit the mold, right? Zero to anything would be a nice jump.
It's a big jump, yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, I'll hop in here. Mine does deal with a little bit of injury, but I think it's more than that. The talent that we saw from this player on the field was outstanding. He's paired to a quarterback who can also take a year or two leap. I'm talking about Elijah Moore, last year's rookie wide receiver for the New York Jets. From weeks 9 through 13, he was the wide receiver 2 in fantasy football. He was utterly dominant. This was a player who you saw that kind of electric quick twitch ability on the field. That's why they drafted him. That's what they were hoping that would translate, and then it did. He was awesome. Mm-hmm. Obviously, injury got in the way, and you know, he was also, I still think, limited by Zach Wilson, you know. So coming into year two, the fact that he is now entering, he's going from a place where he was an incoming hopeful rookie behind a Jameson Crowder, and they had just paid big money for Corey Davis, and like, so he was an afterthought. Coming into this season, he is now the dude. He is who they are seeing as like their primary wide receiver of the future, paired to their quarterback that they hope of the future. So I think Elijah Moore is someone who will take a major step up.
And I'll just jump in, because that's the same name that came to my head as well. I mean, he's top tier in targets per route run. So, which if you're new to that statistic, it's essentially when the player is out there running a route, how often are they targeted? Because you have several wide receivers. When you go look at the snap counts, you're like, well, that guy was out there for 90%+ of the snaps and never gets targeted. Elijah Moore, 24% of his routes, he was targeted. And that is a top-tier percentage. Now, of course, he missed a lot of games, but that's still a tremendous rate at which he is seeing the ball. And of players with 24% of a targets per route run, he has the third highest average depth of target. So these aren't cheapies.
These aren't Rondale Moore.
Like Rondale Moore.
This is Elijah Moore.
Whose ADOT is like 1.3 or something just obscene that football has never seen before.
Can we get rid of Cliff Kingsbury already?
If you think Elijah Moore's small, you should see Rondale Moore.
Yeah. But the point is, the ball is going to him. He is getting deep down the field. He has elite athleticism. If Zach Wilson truly can take a step that the Jets believe he can, he was the second overall pick selected before a lot of the other quarterbacks in last year's draft. Elijah Moore is really set up to make a big fantasy jump.
The name I'll throw out there then, since you guys were in agreement, I'll throw Josh Palmer out there, who was a rookie wide receiver for the Los Angeles Chargers last season, third-round pick. I believe Elijah Moore was second-round pick, 34th overall.
Yes.
Palmer went...
Palmer was a surprising pick.
77th overall. This is about what I think we saw on the field from Josh Palmer in limited... Kind of towards the end of the year, over the final five games, he averaged 65% of snaps, saw 5.6 targets, caught 3 touchdowns. But it's opportunity mixed with that talent. I like the size. I like what I saw on the field. I think he is a player that's going to work very hard to take the next step at the NFL level. And Big Mike... Mike Williams, if he were to depart, he's a free agent,
man.
Which I think the likelihood is it's better than 50% that he leaves because of what's out there at the wide receiver position. And so you see players that, I don't think any of us would say Mike Williams is a tier one NFL wide receiver.
No, but he's a tier one NFL free agent.
Yeah. And so he gets, you know, sometimes you see these players get paid a tier higher on years where wide receiver depth at the free agent, you know, market isn't there. So I think there's a chance Mike Williams goes in, you know, he could go get the bag from a New York Jets, to be honest with you, or go get it from the Bears, who need desperately to find a weapon. So if Josh Palmer is put into that outside role on a regular basis, we know what the Keenan Allen show is all about, right? We've seen a lot of episodes.
It's not changing.
We're in the reruns at this point, and they're great.
I love that show.
There's some classic episodes, no doubt about it. But he's not going to be a downfield, heavy touchdown threat. And
the Simpsons aren't changing.
No.
The formula is well established.
But you could have a new major character here in Josh Palmer, where you know the production levels of Justin Herbert are going to persist in the passing game with this head coach and this offense for years to come. So who's going to be the guy? And it seems like Josh Palmer is ready and able. Maybe they signed somebody and it makes it messier. But I think Josh Palmer is somebody to watch out for, somebody that has an opportunity. All right, a couple of reminders for you before we get into the countdown of the 10 things to remember for the upcoming year. Jointhefoot.com, that is our fantasy football community. If you would like a bonus episode of the show.
Bonus.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
That's enough. That's enough. No, if you want an extra episode of this show, we're down to two a week in the off season. So you want a bonus third episode, we have a lot of fun over there. You can check out jointhefoot.com. And then if you want to pre-order the draft kit, you can do that at ultimatedraftkit.com. If you get in there before March 10th, we will give you an opportunity to win a listener league spot, and you will get it at the lowest possible price. And you get instant access to the Dynasty Pass. All our rookie and dynasty information is in there right now.
News and notes from around the league.
Are we just playing into Aaron Rodgers' hands if we talk about him?
A little bit.
Yeah.
All right, so no real news on Rodgers.
Yeah, he says he's
That's
not
going to. News.
His news, everyone was waiting for him to go on the Pat McAfee show, and then he comes out and says, I'm not making a decision right now. He wants to make a decision soon, though. It's reported that he wants to do that in part for Davante Adams and him knowing his future as a free agent, what he should be doing, signing, not signing, etc.
And their GM said he's doubtful to field trade offers for Jordan Love. Okay.
Did you hear about his cleanse, though?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Who are you talking about? Jordan
Aaron
Love?
Aaron Rodgers. You didn't hear the news about the cleanse?
I didn't. They'll give it to me.
The 12-day, I don't know how to pronounce, but Panchakarma
sounds
cleanse.
Right. Sounds right.
Includes things like therapeutic vomiting and.
Oh, yeah.
He did his research.
Yeah. No, okay. he's critical thinking.
All right.
And a lot of RIA from both sides.
Oh, Jeremy Fowler said many around the league expect Jameis Winston back as the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints.
He's their best option. I mean,
at this point, yes.
Quarterbacks aren't growing on trees out there.
It's also, what do you do with Taysom Hill
Did
then?
Did you say vomiting?
Oh, yeah.
Vomiting's a part of
no,
it?
No, but therapeutic.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. This isn't just normal throwing
is
up. Yeah.
Therapeutic?
This is...
Yes, yes, there it is.
Therapeutic.
We got it.
You're welcome.
Well done.
Jarvis Landry says...
Copyright.
Get the domain. Get the .com quick.
I declare... Jarvis Landry said he has put the ball in the Browns' court in terms of his future. The implications out there are that they asked him to take a pay cut. So now the ball is in their court to not do that or to extend him or to reconfigure his salary. They can save nearly $15 million if they cut him.
Yeah, he had a five-year, $75 million contract, of which he's on the final year, $16 million on the books, only $1.5 million dead cap. So he either will take – It sounds like he doesn't want to take a pay cut. And so it's tough to imagine the Browns being able to cut him. Like, they'll save a lot of money, but also they do need wide receivers. Like,
right.
This is not a place, you know, they shipped Odell Beckham out. So if Jarvis Landry gets cut, which financially makes a lot of sense, what is left there? I mean, they're going to be drafting someone, signing someone, but the free agent market is terrible. So
Donovan Peoples-Jones is still there.
Anthony Schwartz.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Schwartz flashed a little
bit. Oh, yeah.
So did Peoples Jones.
Yeah, but they're not, like, I don't think there's a budding number one right
I think Landry's playing this the way he should. He's 29 years old. If he gets cut, he gets another deal that's going to be in excess of a reconfigured deal here, probably.
And he can go to somewhere where he can win.
Yes. And if he doesn't get cut, then he gets paid a lot. So I don't think we have any other news, Brooksy. Did you get any information on this Aaron Rodgers plan, health plan? This is plant man stuff. Or this goes beyond the plants.
Yeah. Well, now we're reading about butt oil.
There's butt oil involved?
Yeah.
I don't know if we should be talking about this.
This is really not safe for work.
This whole first impression thing is going sideways.
I have no comment.
No comment. That. You haven't tried
we'll
it
out? We'll get a rumpologist in here.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Figure that out.
All right, let's move on.
Don't forget to remember these things.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, nice one, Mike. Very good. We have 10 things to remember from 2021, things to, I think, lessons we've learned, things we want to commit to memory as we have a long off season here before kickoff.
And just some things you want to remind yourself
absolutely.
Of. It's like, look, fool me once, fool me twice situation, except we're fantasy football players, we're human beings, guilty as charged. I've fallen into the same trap several times. So this is a good episode where you look in the mirror and remind yourself, I got to stop falling for this.
Okay. So, Jason, you have number 10.
Number 10.
Yeah, and this is actually a really nice segue from what Mike was talking about, because this was something where at the very beginning of the fantasy season, after the draft season, I had this question to myself, because I felt like I kept making the same mistake over and over and over. And so I wrote down a list of players. I call this one Hurt Don't Help.
Okay.
Hurt Don't Help, because I wrote down a list of all the players who were relevant, drafted, fantasy guys that you actually might have liked, who basically missed all of preseason, all of training camp. They basically just weren't, they were told, oh, he's going to be ready to go for the season. So people are drafting these guys, but they hadn't been playing. They hadn't been practicing. And so I remember going to Brooks and we came up with a list together of like, who is it that you know, I want to look at the end of the season and remind myself, are those players good to draft, bad to draft, irrelevant, a mixture? And my takeaway is avoid the players who miss all of preseason or training camp due to injury. Now, in hindsight, this will sound really obvious, but I wrote this down then because it was not. These were players. I loved Curtis Samuel.
You get an injury dip discount as well.
Absolutely.
That's what's so enticing.
It is enticing. And so there were seven players that I wrote down. Curtis Samuel was one, complete L. Just never got healthy the whole entire season, even though they said he's going to be good to go for the season. Saquon Barkley was one of the players that basically was, he's going to be ready to go, but he was coming off of the injury. Awful draft pick, complete lost season. Kenny Golladay.
Oof.
Rough. Ouch. Just, I mean, worse than the other two, if you could even be worse than Curtis Samuel and Saquon. Odell Beckham, who was a complete loss before the change to, you know, obviously late in the season, goes to the Super Bowl champion Rams and did have a little bit of fantasy relevance. Amari Cooper was mostly an L on the season, never really looked great. And then the two other guys on the list who were good, Marquise Brown and DeAndre Swift, they missed, you know, the whole lead up to the season. But they struggled, obviously, with injury at the end of the year. They, you know, had a hot stretch, but then both basically became irrelevant at the end.
I'd throw out Michael Thomas as well.
Sure. I guess I didn't even think of him because he was set to miss a chunk of the season coming in. But these guys who...
Yeah, but people drafted him.
Yeah, absolutely. People drafted him because of that dip. They think, well, if he's going down to round
he was
eight,
like round, yes.
You know, how can you not grab Michael Thomas in round eight? And so this is one of those things where I want to remember this for next year, because a couple of these players, Amari Cooper and Curtis Samuel, I loved in the offseason. And coming up this coming season, I am going to employ a remove these type of players from my list entirely. I will not draft these guys who miss all of camp, all of preseason, even if they say they're good to go on week one.
Number nine.
All right. I'm going to go with this one titled Plumb the Depths.
Plumb it.
Plumb the Depths. More than ever before.
Plum's a good word.
It is. Yeah.
Also delicious.
Look, plums? You like plums?
Plums are good. They're a little underrated.
It's very hard.
They're the same as prunes, right? Prunes are a dried out plum, right?
Well, yeah.
What?
Yeah, a prune is to plum like a raisin is to grape.
You didn't know this, Jason?
No, I didn't know that because one is good and one is awful.
You don't like prunes.
No. Are you sure you don't?
Well, I'm not. let me check my age. Yeah, not 80.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like you right now, I think you have an age bias going on, saying that prunes are bad because they're for old people.
Yes, I do. That is guilty as charged.
But plums are for young folk?
That's right. They're delicious when ripe. Go on in.
I wish I had named this differently.
Let's talk about these plums.
This is a reminder.
Prune the depths.
This is a reminder about the importance of depth in fantasy football more than ever. You got a 17 game season now, right? So you even have another full week. Maybe we'll get another one after that where you cannot, and I have to remember this, you cannot rely on that frame-worthy starting lineup that you've assembled. That idealistic, starter-centric, beautiful, amazing roster that you put together that you think is going to make it through the year. Look, you only had three running backs out of the top 15 that played all 17 games this year, Jonathan Taylor, Najee, and Zeke. Your championship winners were players like Rashad Penny, who you guys rode to a championship, Braxton Berrios, who Kyle should have rode to a championship, Sony Michel, Darrell Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jarrett Patterson, Keyshawn Vaughn. Look, you have to remember to stash and spend on fab early when you don't need to. Because what can happen is you might have the best draft of your life. You might have made the best trade of your life early in the year. But that can cause you to be over-attached to a starting lineup, thereby making you slow to make moves, to pay for depth. Look, depth on your fantasy roster exists to answer the question, what do I do now, before you have to ask it, before the crisis. So I think for me, I want to remember to act like my team is in crisis before it is, because it will be at some point in time, unless I'm the luckiest fantasy player of all time. I mean, I was the team that had the rug pulled out for me with Derrick Henry, right? This catastrophic linchpin of your roster. And more often than not, fantasy players are going to have that happen to them. But if you prepare yourself, if you spend early, if you don't have a 2-3 week delay because you're looking at how beautiful your lineup is or how well put together it is, you're going to be in a better position, because that delay can cost you. You might not have been willing to spend on Elijah Mitchell early in the year, right? You don't have that catastrophic injury yet. You don't go spend on Elijah Mitchell. And that could have been the player that would have helped you through crisis on your team. So prune the depths, plumb the depths, whatever you want to call it. Pay attention to depth before you need it.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Number eight.
All right, I'm calling this one the late round adjustment. And hold on, because this is going to be a string of names, but just try and follow along. Mahomes, Allen, Murray, Lamar, Wilson, Dak, Rodgers, Herbert, Brady, Stafford, Tanny, and Jalen Hurts. Tanny being Ryan Tannehill, of course. Those were the top 12 quarterbacks in ADP this past offseason for,
so average
for
the draft position.
Yes, that's how by the end of it, the average of where those guys were being selected. That was the order. And here are the top 12 finishers at the quarterback position. Allen, Herbert, Brady, Mahomes, Stafford, Rodgers, Dak, Burrow, Hurts, Murray, Cousins, Tannehill. 11 of the 12 quarterbacks that were drafted first in fantasy football drafts finished inside the top 12. Joe Burrow was the only player who slipped in, which it makes sense. Burrow had the catastrophic knee injury. His ADP slipped a little bit. You weren't sure if he was ready to go. I understand what happened there. But my point is, the late round quarterback philosophy has been a staple of not only this show, but of good fantasy football players out there for a long time. We have understood that the quarterback, generally speaking, is a replaceable position. You only have to play one of them. If you're in a 12-team league, that means only 12 of them are being played at any moment. And there's guys readily available on the waiver wire that you could pick up and throw in. And you can also, on top of that, get quarterbacks later, realizing the upside that a rushing quarterback provides you, balancing out, because you get a point for every 10 yards. And so it doesn't matter if they're a great passer. Just, this is fantasy football. It's not real life NFL. It's a completely different game. But drafters are getting sharper. And they're really... wasn't a huge edge. Like, Josh Allen had the slight edge of being the best quarterback, and you had to pay up for him. He was, you know, QB2, drafted at the back of the third or so in single quarterback leagues. But got like Brady, Murray, Mahomes, Hurts, Lamar, these guys are within 2 points per game of each other. There was not really an edge. So instead of the game being, I'm going to wait as late as possible, I'm proposing we need to reevaluate. When do you go in on getting that quarterback? It's not just wait till the very end because all the name quarterbacks are going to get drafted, and then I'll figure out who the diamond in the rough is, and I will get them, and if it doesn't work out, I'll just stream my way there. We have to adjust with the crowd. The crowd is getting better and better at fantasy football. That's why you, listener, you're doing the right thing. You're listening to a fantasy football podcast in February. You're keeping sharp. The iron is sharpening the iron through the offseason, making sure you're still plugged in. So this is a reminder that the game evolves, your strategies need to evolve, and we will be doing that as well. It's not just automatically, well, I don't want this quarterback in the seventh because I'm going to get this guy in the ninth. Like, we have to reevaluate the whole process as the edge slips away.
Okay, and that's something I think this is a reminder now. I think it's an awareness thing of understanding how they finished compared to, like, people projected the top 12 quarterbacks. That's what happened.
Yeah, we did.
Not the order perfectly right, but they projected. There wasn't three guys that snuck in that you got, that you streamed your way there.
Yeah, and 5 years ago, it was always, look at the top five guys. They were all drafted late. We were wrong. We're genius now.
You're speaking for the community?
Oh, sure. I was talking about just the three of us.
Oh, what? Good work, Chase.
So I think this is something that'll get worked out over this offseason, too, as we start looking at the initial lists of quarterbacks.
Number 7.
Speaking of quarterbacks, I call this one quarterblacks.
Okay.
Because new quarterbacks who bring hope and positive narratives to these teams, but they are retreads, they don't move the needle for the receiving corps. And I want to desperately remember this. It happens every year, and I was hook, line, and sinker on a couple of these. I fell for it. Not going to do it next year. Here's the three situations to bring up. Carolina, they traded for a bright young hope in Sam Darnold. There was the getting away from Adam Gase narrative, the youth of Sam Darnold, the receiving corps that he had. The offensive system, like, there was so much positivity there. DJ Moore could finally Ja Rule was there. DJ Moore could finally become a superstar. Robbie Anderson, they paid him a lot of money. He was going to be a great value for fantasy. Terrace Marshall Jr., the new hotness, you know, one of the most touted rookie wide receivers. It turns out Sam Darnold wasn't the answer that the publicity said he was. Denver, on the other hand, they finally got rid of Drew Locke.
They took Carolina's.
That was the super ironic part, right? They got Teddy Bridgewater, who Carolina just got rid of. Carolina's like, oh, good, we don't have Teddy Bridgewater. And now in Denver, somehow all the PR was spun to where it was positive. It was good. Now we've just got a solid veteran, not Drew Locke. That's going to be so good for our superstar receiving core of Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and Noah Fant. This is going to really work out. It turns out Teddy Bridgewater wasn't the answer for those wide receivers, and the wide receivers on both of those destinations really disappointed. Same thing happened with the Washington football team. Now, they brought in Fitzmagic. He got injured, but even Taylor Heineke, he was touted as being so much better than the Dwayne Haskins and old broken version of Alex Smith, and he was better. But it turns out Taylor Heineke is not the answer. Terry McLaurin, you know, he wasn't that great for fantasy.
No, it was sad.
These guys all disappointed. And so for 2022, we will have all of these positive narratives, all of the bright, shiny hope. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to go somewhere, and he's going to be the answer for that team, publicity-wise, narrative-wise. He's going to be a great hope. Mitchell Trubisky might be re-signed somewhere, and he's trained with Brian Daboll and Josh Allen. He's supported Allen Robinson. There will be positive narratives. Jameis Winston is coming back. He's been successful for fantasy. Carson Wentz might end up on a new team. These dudes will not be the answer for the wide receivers you're hoping take that major, major jump up, and I will not fall for it this year. Now, obviously, if Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and I would throw Kirk Cousins in, as I'm saying this now, before any publicity and any move.
He's proven.
Yeah, he's proven he could support.
He's also actually left a team and then gone to another one and done well.
Right, exactly. So those guys, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Kirk Cousins, yes, I'll get excited about the receiving core. Any other wide quarterback change, and they'll be coming, not going to fool me this year. Not happening.
Not going to get you?
Not going to get me. You're all quarterbacks.
What if Sam Darnold goes to a new team?
Well
I mean, he can't fool fail. He can't fail for three teams, can he?
How disappointed are you in the Sam Darnold outcome?
I'm pretty disappointed because I think it would have been fun to have him be good.
Rooting for him.
Yeah, I mean, if every single team had a great quarterback, things would be even better for fantasy. But there aren't 32 great quarterbacks.
Number six.
All right, I'm going to call this one Proof Was in the Pudding.
Delicious. You and your food today.
Yeah. So, look, there are players.
Wait, pudding.
Oh, gosh.
Pudding is good. Okay. Tapioca for 80-year-olds.
Yeah. So tapioca.
That's right.
That's where you draw the line?
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
Never again, Brooks.
Proof was in the tapioca.
I'm not naming these after food ever again on this show. Proof was in the pudding. What do I mean? There are players in fantasy football that we hope make the leap every year, right? That's kind of the diamond in the rough. Find the Terry McLaurin going into the top five or the DJ Moore going into the top five. And then there are players who have already done it. They've already made the leap, and then they've had regression for whatever reason the case may be. I want to remember to buy into some of the players who have seen regression, who have had a bad year, maybe even they've struggled with injuries, because they have proven via on-the-field evidence that they can produce at league-winning fantasy football levels. Because in this past year, we saw multiple players who had previously dominated in fantasy football in different stretches of their career who were then considered middle-tier options going into this past year's draft. Cooper Kupp, late fourth-round pick, the wide receiver 19, but we had seen it on the field in stretches before. Deebo Samuel, late seventh-round pick, the wide receiver 36 off the board, but we had seen him produce in stretches while healthy on the field. Three other names to bring up. Leonard Fournette was an eighth-round pick. James Conner was an eighth-round pick. Mark Andrews was a fifth-round pick. They were all players that you've seen stretches of elite performance on the field. There are, look, it's exciting to hope a player can do that. But it's also something to have done it. And so the proof was in the pudding for these guys, and I want to remember to take a few chances on those type of players. Maybe even Adam Thielen fits that mold. You know, there are players in the middle rounds that we ignored this year and that had the potential based on their previous evidence that they could do it.
It's ironic you say that because it's actually potential that is the problem. They don't seem like they have potential. You've already seen it. And for some reason, we don't want that. We want the potential that we haven't seen that seems wrongly like that is going to be the
it's
best.
It's the Family Guy clip of you could have a boat or you can have what's in the box. And he's like, well, hold on. It could be a boat. You're like, yeah.
But you got a boat.
Yeah.
Right. And so
it is boring. Like, there's no more boring pick this year than Leonard Fournette.
Oh,
that seemed like just, I mean, he probably likes prunes. That was the viewpoint on Leonard Fournette. Even though he's not very old, the viewpoint
he's
was like.
He's in plum age.
Yeah. So there are opportunities there, and I'm gonna lean a little bit on evidence that we've seen for some of these guys.
Yeah, it's so sometimes we outthink ourselves. You look at all these advanced statistics, and we dig as deep as we can to find the diamonds in all the rough statistics. But the reality is, the greatest indicator of future success,
yep,
is previous success. So yeah,
yeah. So I'm gonna try to remember that going into 2022.
Number five.
Calling this one rookie QBs give wide receivers the heebie-jeebies.
Okay. Jason doesn't have any commentary on that one.
Well, there was no food involved.
You like jujubes?
No.
No, oh, okay. Go on, Mike.
I just, you know, sort of. There was a rhyme.
Yeah.
It's no, I mean, it's in there somewhere.
That's. I mean, you were the last one to come up with your names. I don't hold it against you.
Since 2004, 70% of the time, a rookie quarterback fails to produce a top 36 wide receiver.
That single like, sentence is very powerful.
Full stop.
Number four.
Say it one more time.
Since 2004, a rookie quarterback fails to produce a top 36 wide receiver 70% of the time.
Top 36 isn't even that great.
Correct. And we can look at this last year. Let's get more specific about it. Because last year, that was... If you're newer to football, like say you've only like been diving in the last handful of years or so, that was an outrageously touted quarterback class. Like the first three picks were quarterbacks. There's always usually a quarterback in the top 10, sometimes two. But for the first three picks to be a quarterback, and then you had Justin Fields and Mac Jones in – I think they were both top 15 picks. I don't remember where Mac ended up.
Yeah, Mac was like 15. 12, I think. Oh, but, was it 15? Okay.
But this was an outrageously touted quarterback class of this is the new crop that will set the standard moving forward as we lose Rivers and Brady and Rodgers. These players, these are going to be the guys that step up. Well, in Jacksonville, Marvin Jones finished as the wide receiver 34. So, I mean, he made it in the threshold. While Laviska Shenault on that team had the worst season ever for someone who's seen 95 or more targets. It looking at the analytics and metrics of Laviska Shenault, he breaks all math of how bad it was. In New England, Jacoby Myers, supposed to be a PPR machine, born in Aguilar, high value free agents. Meh. Elijah Moore was the one who flashed, and which
with a rookie quarterback.
With a rookie quarterback. So like that gives me even more confidence that Elijah Moore is about to break out and be the real deal. In Chicago, Allen Robinson vanished into absolute nothingness. Darnell Mooney flashed, but when you go back and really look, the majority of his big games, it wasn't actually Justin Fields who was the quarterback. He was hurt at the time. Brandon Cooks here and there with Davis Mills in Houston, but the rookie quarterbacks are alluring. They're new. It's the new shiny toy. What can someone do with this player? But you just have to
So let me set
remember.
The table then.
Okay,
go. A place like Carolina. A place
right.
like Washington. Those have they have
yeah.
it's not like we're complete fools. It's generally a situation where you have a player that you love or you really, sure. really like. Maybe it's Denver with Jeudy or McLaurin in Washington or DJ Moore in Carolina. There's always an alluring fantasy option at the wide receiver position that tempts you.
And everyone, every fantasy player at a certain point has value. So that it's just, it comes down to your opportunity cost. So we be informed and be judicious when you're going in on these wide receivers in the draft of realizing just because it's a rookie quarterback, or I should say because it's a rookie quarterback,
the odds are low.
The likelihood that this player is that you had the hope for is going to actually take the leap to be a superstar, it's very low because they aren't good for fantasy football because they're rookies. They're just learning how to play in the NFL.
I am curious, now that you brought up those numbers, what like a last third of the year looks like for some of those players,
sure.
versus the whole year, because you know if for example Trevor Lawrence got it going in the back half, maybe Marvin Jones is relevant then.
But Elijah Moore is later in the season.
Yes, and that definitely can happen. And an issue we get is outliers pop up. Justin Herbert put his Superman cape on and supported Keenan Allen and was fantastic as a rookie, had good options around him. And then you think, well, Justin Herbert did it, mm-hmm. so all these other guys can do it. He is the outlier. He is not the standard.
You said 70% failed.
Yes.
That means 30% do produce a top 36. But do you want to bet on the 70 or bet on the 30? Nope. That's an easy bet.
Yeah, and there's a lot of situations where it's not even the quarterback's fault, right? As a rookie, you are protecting a rookie.
Sure.
You know, the coach is
it's
protecting.
It's all part of it.
So, like, Herbert had this ability. They gave him carte blanche to just, like, chuck it as a rookie, which is rare. Like, Mac Jones is Justin Fields. I mean, Justin Fields, we kept begging them to let him throw the football. So, it's an interesting thing and something we should remember, because that is a bad bet early in drafts to go the 30% route on somebody you think you really need and somebody
and
that could be
fantasy
important.
Fantasy football is a game of numbers. We're playing probability and range of outcomes.
If we had thought about this going into last year, Allen Robinson is the perfect name to say, let's move him down 5 or 6 spots. We probably will not get him because other people will draft him ahead of us because of the – we all like Justin Fields. We all were believers.
He was such a trap, too, how bad his quarterbacks had been.
Yeah, and so
– Robinson?
Yeah, that was why people liked it.
But that would have been a perfect tip to help avoid the biggest trap in fantasy this year.
Number 4.
I call this one tight ends – more like loose stools. Got him.
There's that first impression.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Still going.
Oh, they're not here. They're not
here.
I
liked it. They've already left.
These are our people now, Mike. Here's the reality. Tight ends still suck. And tight ends are always going to suck. Draft one early. That's my big takeaway here. TJ Hawkinson was good. He was like a win this year, and he sucked. Right, like he was good.
Painful to roster.
Dallas Goedert this last year, man, he was going to be so good if, oh no, Zach Ertz came back to the team. He was going to take off. Oh wait, then Zach Ertz left. Dallas Goedert still sucked. Noah Fant, he was going to hit that third year leap. He's an athletic freak. His profile's off the charts. He sucked. Oh, but Higbee.
Some Higbee, strong language.
Higbee going to Hig beast without Gerald Everett there. They're going to throw to Higbee sucked. Robert Tonyan, he broke out, and he's playing with the MVP of the league who can keep up that touchdown pace.
That's true.
Robert Tonyan sucked.
Oh, man.
Gesicki, Jonnu, Ingram, everyone sucked, just like every single year. Tight ends suck. They all
so
suck.
So mean.
Well, but that's not on me. That's on the tight ends.
Oh, come on.
Or should I call them loose stools? Right. So, look, draft Kelsey, draft Mark Andrews. If you want to try Pitts or Kittle, sure. All the other guys, they're going to suck. So, draft a tight end early or just punt. Punt forever.
Agreed.
Don't draft these middle tight ends. They're all going to suck.
I feel like the joke is loose caboose.
Yeah, I get it, but loose caboose.
Like, you're making a butt joke into a poop joke.
Well, you can't see the leap to get from a butt joke to a poop joke.
I'm just trying. I'm helping.
One
you
literally comes out of the other. I mean, I'm just saying it's pretty on the nose.
How we doing, producers? You guys still proud of
working
what you
here?
Do?
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
My mom's not.
Okay. All right. That's understandable.
Number three.
All right, I'm gonna call this new laundry, new problems.
What's your favorite detergent?
Oh gosh,
Tide.
You're a Tide man.
Yeah.
Do you use the pods?
Yeah, the pods. The pods are delicious.
Back to eating.
No. Don't eat the pods.
No.
We know our audience. They would eat the pods.
They look delicious though.
Kyle, you probably he's nodding. He's eaten some pods before. Don't eat them. They do look delicious.
Yeah, stop.
Don't do it.
That's their fault.
I can't name these anymore. That's the truth. New laundry, new problems. I'm talking about crafting a narrative as to why a free agent pickup will always work in their new destination. Because the narrative writes itself, right? That, when you are signed to a new team, guess what? They wanted you. That's built into it. So that's part of the narrative. They were pursued. They were chosen by that team. They were given money. They were given capital. The local fans are excited. They're buying the jerseys. It's all built into changing teams, putting on the new laundry. Well, here are the 2021 free agents who changed teams with the most money by position. The running backs, Kenyon Drake, Jamal Williams, Mike Davis. Wide receivers were Golladay, Corey Davis, Curtis Samuel, Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, Marvin Jones, Will Fuller, AJ Green.
AJ Green was the best of that group.
That is accurate.
Man, the free agents got hurt.
Tight ends, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, Kyle Rudolph. Look, it rarely works, and you hope it will work, and you can write the story as to why you think it will work. You're stuck in that reality. But guess what? Every single free agent signing has zero snaps with their new offense, zero rapport with their coaches. They've moved their families to a new home. They've got a new routine. And they're signed without your fantasy team considered whatsoever. You know, I think Jonnu Smith might have been the best example of this. Paid a bunch of money.
Immediately.
And I know that there's NFL criticism for the signing. But the plan for Jonnu Smith wasn't built out of your fantasy production. It was built on the other things he can do on the field, running these two tight end sets. It's more often than not, and we've said it a little bit, especially with wide receivers. We're like, just don't paint too rosy a picture because it just doesn't work out that often. But this year really showed across all positions that, like, the rose-colored glasses, they just didn't produce any fantasy production. So please temper that story that is being told. And it might take time on a new team. It might never happen on a new team because the roles are just – They're changed.
Yeah, when Mike Williams signs a $70 million deal this offseason, and to be the dude, now he's not going to be in Keenan Allen's shadow, it's probably not going to be an upgrade for him.
Yeah. Yeah, and it definitely, and like Mike said, everybody has a price in the draft, but it's probably not going to be the price that people are paying. Like, he's not going to produce up to that ADP level.
Number two.
Take something for that rookie fever, because this is a reminder. If you are new to the game, what Ja'Marr Chase just did and what Justin Jefferson did a year ago, that is not normal.
You can't stop me, Mike. I'm going in.
And rookies are like, we're in dynasty time. Like, we're watching the tape. Like, Burks. I'm watching Burks in college and going, man, this dude's going to be an absolute stud. But you got to try and pull it back, calm down, and remember the odds of these players turning into real difference makers, it is low.
You're talking receivers.
Rookie wide, yes. Okay. Thank you. Rookie wide receivers. Running backs, they go right in.
Outstanding.
But rookie wide receivers, and this is an ADP, this is draft related. Everyone has their value at certain points in the draft, but don't get out of control. Looking back at rookie wide receivers drafted in the first round, this is all the way back to 2002, 77 wide receivers drafted in the first round. Four of them were top 12 wide receivers. Now, it's been in recent history of you had Chase and Jefferson. Before them, it was Odell and Evans. But other than that, you're talking a complete goose when it comes to predicting that or not just predicting that a rookie wide receiver finishes in the top 12. Now, rookie wide receivers, they start to break through towards the end of the season, and they absolutely have value. That's why we talk about on this show letting other people burn the high draft pick on the rookie, and then once they've given up on that player in 4 or 5 weeks, then scoop them off the waiver wire or go trade low for that player because they get better as the season goes along. Second round players or wide receivers drafted, 93 of them, Michael Thomas, Anquan Boldin. That's it. Those are the two that finished in the top 12. Rookies don't finish in the top 12, and don't let the crowd push up the ADP of whoever the hot rookie is, because there will be
5% of first rounders were top 12 wide receivers
since 2002,
and 2.6% of second rounders were top 12.
Yes, like they don't pan out to be elite, and so that's, I'm bringing that up. We all know that rookie wide receivers generally aren't superstars right away. But because we're coming off of back-to-back years, the conversation is going to be, who is this year's Ja'Marr Chase? Who is this year's Justin Jefferson? I guarantee it will be asked. It will probably be asked on this podcast.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, we're going to be...
And Jason, he's in.
We'll be guilty of that. But just take something for the rookie fever and hold your water when it comes to the draft. Take them at the right time, but don't overspend that draft capital, that opportunity cost, because the Ja'Marr Chases and Justin Jeffersons, that they are the outlier.
I think the story more often than not is the Devontae Smith type of rookie season for a successful rookie,
which was good,
wide receiver season. Or you get the Amon-Ra St. Brown little blitz at the end of the season. So it's not generally like Ja'Marr Chase was dominant from the beginning of the year. Even Jefferson's season took a little time to get going, if you
took
remember.
It took a couple weeks,
maybe. So it is a good reminder. It's one that I think will be disregarded.
Mm-hmm.
So nice try.
I'm also trying to talk to myself because, like, the reason Ja'Marr Chase was a fifth or the sixth rounder in ADP, I can't remember which one it was.
Fifth.
Was because of Justin Jefferson. If the Jefferson season hadn't happened, Ja'Marr Chase still would have been sought after in the draft, but it would have been eighth round, ninth round, like that, because Jefferson was a double digit pick. When you have the success of the outliers, it stacks upon itself. And I'm just afraid that a rookie wide receiver, a wide receiver will be drafted very high in the NFL draft. It will just happen, and people might lose their minds. Of like, look at the draft capital of this player, and I love his athleticism. Just realize that
at least percentage-wise, it hasn't happened.
You're going to burn a huge opportunity cost.
We saw this after 2014. In 2014, yes. Massive rookie draft class. That was Odell Beckham and
that was
Calvin Benjamin, Mike Evans. Just unbelievable. Like you said, that there's only been four of those first round guys who have hit as a top 12. Rookie wide receiver since that time. That is 6 of 170 players that have actually hit there. So yeah, don't bet that way.
Number one.
All right, we'll call it the future is bright for number one, which is our yearly reminder to improve your fantasy football experience, fix your league, improve all of the aspects that you may have, you know, you may have hated during the first 3 or 4 weeks of the year, and you forgot that you want to change these things in the off season. And there's a laundry list of things you could be doing right now, starting with one of our pet peeves, the great built-in trade veto system on a lot of platforms. Get rid of trade vetoes.
Immediate trades.
Yes.
When someone makes a trade, boom, it's done. If there is a huge problem, you can always reverse a trade. But that should be almost never. I mean, when in our league have we ever reversed trade?
Since we got rid of the trade veto process and we went to instant trades, it has never happened.
We've never gone backwards. Yeah. And it's never been a problem, and it allows so much more activity.
Yeah, because you're no longer factoring, you know, in a league with a 1 or 2 day window, a trade processing window.
And that Thursday night game screws you over.
All of a sudden, you're lowering transactions in your league, which lowers activity, fun, all of those things. So you want to get rid of that. And look, you have a responsible league with good players. You should only be vetoing a trade on collusion grounds anyway.
That's another good tip. the players in your league. Make sure that you've got a good group of people. If you need to replace some of the fantasy managers, do it now.
Yeah, and if you can't find replacements, it's better to play with 8 or 10 than 12-team league where you have 2 or 3 guys ruining the league due to inactivity. So make adjustments, get people that are committed. Maybe this is the offseason you want to change to FAB waiver system.
Yes,
it is.
Maybe this is the offseason where you want to fix your championship week so that it is not the final week of the NFL season when it is a crapshoot who will be playing and who won't be playing. Make that fix this offseason.
Maybe you have kickers in your league, and you should fix that and replace your kickers with a flex position.
Another couple recommendations we always make for making leagues a little bit better. Maybe this is the offseason you build out the communication platform for your league. Maybe you want everybody on Slack. Maybe you want them all on Discord. Maybe you want them all on some other platform. But put yourself in a position where people can be talking to each other all year long. Maybe this is the league where you need a new – this is the offseason you need a new commish to bring a little extra energy to your league.
Yeah, someone that's going to make some hype videos and send them around, get that league, get the juices flowing.
That's what I wanted to say. We get a lot of the questions of how do I spice it up for my league? I want more communication, and you have to be the instrument of change. Mm-hmm. You have to – it might take a lot of energy. You might be like, I'm going to make this really funny, cool video for my league, and it might get no traction. Your friends, maybe they may remain silent, but you got to have the – you got to have the energy.
Friends.
Yeah. But I'm saying you might need the energy to put that out there a few times before it gets other people – in the competitive spirit of, oh, okay, this is what we're doing now? Fine, here's my video.
So the future is bright, and if you need another league or you need to find a league with good people, the Foot Clan is available. If you're a member over at jointhefoot.com, you get access to Foot Clan leagues, and you can find a local, online, dynasty, redraft, keeper, whatever you need. So you can check that out as well. That will do it. That is the finished countdown. Too many food-related titles. I'll fix that for next year.
That's on you.
That's my fault. I should have known my co-hosts.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll do it. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll have a Coaching Changes show next Thursday. So we'll be recapping some of those changes and a whole lot more this offseason.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.